will give the relative the authority to say no to the parent when they come knocking on the door at 2 in the morning or whatever, demanding their child back. I mean, in other words, creating the framework in which the child can be raised with the parent, hopefully, in a home where the child can have that consistency and predictability of care that is so crucial to avoiding juvenile delinquents later. And that kind of ongoing kind of problems that aren't addressed in subsections B, C, D, E, or F is what A can address. And if you take that away from us, you're going to suffer the consequences later. I think it's that serious.
Well, I've had some exposure to these kinds of situations myself. And while I understand the concern that these do present, one of the approaches that the legislature has tried to take in a new direction, if you will, in the last few years, is if it is that we're going to make parents responsible for their children, we have to give them the authority to be responsible. And having someone else make an ability, having the ability to say, we don't think you're able, I don't think is standing behind parents to the extent of making them responsible. I'm sure that you can articulate, as you just very clearly did, within the framework of A, B, C, D, E, and F, a G and H that cover the circumstances that you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about child neglect is what you're talking about. I'm sure you don't want to try to do that to a standard of a beyond a reasonable doubt, so come up with a civil standard or a civil violation, if you will, in that general area. But a carte blanche is just as egregious on the other side. Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to that end, I think there are ways to do it. I think the circumstance that you just described could be fit under physical abandonment. You could say including physical abandonment or abandonment of care or something like that. I think there's a way to get those concepts without a broad term of disability.
Yeah, it may be that could be redefined. The problem is that there's case law that deals with physical abandonment, and it's very narrow.
Right, I'm suggesting abandonment of care or some other.
Right, or constructive abandonment.
Mr. Chairman, if I might interject there.
Representative Roper?
Talking about physical abandonment is precisely the issue that brought up Section 3 or the incarceration bit. Because the courts had found that there was not legislative intent to say that being incarcerated was actual abandonment.
Well, and that's why
so that's
I thought.
The problem we're facing here in terms
yeah,
of defending.
That's why I thought Section 1 or 2, I guess it is. Was married to that because of the interpretation that if they're willing, you can't say that they're just because. I mean, they're in Lemon Creek, but they're willing.
That would be a problem if there weren't the abandonment statute. If someone's in jail, at least until the Supreme Court tells us otherwise, if someone's incarcerated, they've abandoned their child. There is no one there to care for their child.
And the willing.
So the state can take in and get custody of the child. But the state cannot terminate parental rights because under the termination of parental rights, they say, let's look at the conduct, not the status.
Well, Representative Ruckberg?
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that if the Department of Law and Health and Human Services and my staff and perhaps some legal grounding from your staff, so you have understanding and control and comfort zone, if you would allow us to review the provisions, particularly of Section 2, if, as I hear correctly, the committee would like to have either a clearer definition of what subsection A, the intention here is, perhaps we can develop some additional language quickly that would meet the criterion that I think has been set forth here today, and present that to the committee. And failing that, however, if we can't find consensus with language which are comfortable, because I think we do need to make the effort of doing so. I think there is a something here that we need to try to ameliorate. But failing to do so, after the committee would review that, then I would recommend and ask that we continue on with a CS that just includes what we could consider Section 3. Now, I think we do need to make that effort.
I think that's a good suggestion. Representative Beasley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have concern in Section 3 that we have a situation right now that is not do it. But I think Section 3 is taking it just as far as the other side of what good would be, and making what I think would be an equally undesirable situation. I think we all know what we mean when we read that, but I think everyone here has a different opinion of what that is.
Sufficiently long, you mean?
Sufficiently long, yeah. Yes. And I think we need to put some kind of a guideline, quantitative guideline in here. So are we talking about 30 days? I mean, 30 days in the life of a child can be a long time. Well, we don't limit it. We don't say it has to be more than 30 days. Are we talking about more than 5 years? Certainly 5 years is a long time, but not necessarily for, say, a 17-year-old child who's going to be emancipated in 12 months.
Mr. Chairman.
I have concerns that we're trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
Mr. Chairman.
Anything, Roper?
Yeah, I believe Representative Vizi makes an interesting and good point, one that we discussed in the House committee, and once we reviewed in the interim and working on any committee substitute. One of the points here is that what the legislature is endeavoring to do with this statutory change is give the judge a limited amount of discretion here to make that judgment, because there's going to be a difference between the age of the child and age of the length of incarceration. So these are variable factors. So rather than try to be specific in trying to establish a sliding scale formula for parental oversight, that we felt that the language that was sufficiently long enough and so that those numbers could be considered by the judiciary in the proper setting.
Looking at the old clock on the wall, let me say this. I think your suggestion about trying to work up some language to address the caring/able issue to make it specific would be a very worthy endeavor if you can do that. If not, we certainly would entertain this section by itself, and if possible, a little more definition to sufficiently long, or if you're convinced that isn't so, come back and tell us that.
Thank you.
Anything further?
That was sufficient.
Seeing nothing, we'll stand adjourned.
Sufficiently long, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was sufficient.
Yeah. This is a real testy area.
I know.